Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Want to create a breakthrough gene therapy or life-saving vaccine? Pioneer aerospace excellence? Take your hospitality tech brand international? Montgomery County, Maryland is where you can do all that and more. Use our ideal location next to D.C., diverse world-class talent, and our vast business resources to be the next company to make your mark and transform the world. Visit bnext.thinkmoco.com. That's bnext.thinkmoco.com to learn how we can help you create something remarkable.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship.
The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
You're listening to the Fantrax Podcast Network. Fantasy sports entertainment lives here.
Welcome to the Fantrax Prospect Toolshed. If you love prospects, you came to the right place, as that's what this show is all about. Covering all levels of the minors to help give you an advantage in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
All right, prospect fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 3 of the Fantrax Prospect Toolshed with Clegg and Cross. I am your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCross04 and all my written work exclusively on FantraxHQ.com. Joining me in the Toolshed, as always, is my esteemed co-host from Fantrax HQ, Mr. Chris Clegg. You can find him on Twitter at RotoClegg. Chris, what's going on, man?
And not too much. I'm just excited to be back and talk some more prospects. Been enjoying these and hope that all our listeners have as well. We want to especially thank you for all the nice 5-star reviews. We really appreciate those. And so we're excited to be back with episode 3, talking about some hitting prospects that are going to be on the rise this year.
For sure. Yeah, it's been great. All the reviews we've been getting and people reaching out to us on Twitter, the feedback has just been incredible. We can't thank everybody enough for helping us get this off the ground and the support we've gotten these first two episodes as we've gotten going here. So big shout out and big thank you to everybody, you know, on Twitter and that's reached out to us privately. Thank you so much. But yeah, episode three, like you mentioned here, we're going to talk some hitting prospects on the rise. It'll be a really fun episode. We're going to do one per position, each of us giving one player on the rise per offensive position, and then probably do two each in the outfield as well, and do pitchers next week in episode four. Before we get into that, a little bit of housekeeping here. As I mentioned, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at EricCross04. Chris is at Roto Clegg, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. Please subscribe to our show on iTunes and give us a five-star review. We always appreciate all the feedback. And always make sure to check out all the great content over on Fantrax HQ, both written and audio. A lot of great podcasts covering all sports, basketball, baseball, a couple of baseball, football, college football, soccer. So definitely, you know, you got you covered there on the audio front. And then we're pumping out a ton of work here on HQ, written work. You know, season's over, but our work is not. I think we're doing a couple a day, you know, not so much on the weekends, but we do some roundtables and stuff. We're doing some mock drafts. We just put out the results for our first mock draft we did late October, a couple days ago on the site. So you can go check that out, see where some of your favorite players fell. And then we're starting within the next day or two, a dynasty mock draft. So that should be, you know, done hopefully within the next couple of weeks. We're doing a slow draft, but usually we go pretty quickly. So a lot of good stuff here. Rankings are in full swing as well. Chris has his top 150 hitters for 2021. I put up my positional rankings where I did like top 40 at all the infield spots, top 100 outfielders, top 130 pitchers, top 40 relievers. And then Jake Devereaux had his top 100 starting pitchers for 2021 as well. So a lot of good stuff here to get you ready because it's never too early to start your prep. But as Chris mentioned, our focus today will be on some hitters on the rise. We'll start in the infield here with catcher. And Chris, who's your first guy on the rise of catcher?
Yeah, so first guy that I've got is Alejandro Kirk. So Kirk is a guy that I've really grown to like more the more that I've looked into him. And really, I wish I had got on board sooner. And I think I kind of missed the boat here in dynasty leagues. But he obviously debuted this year. He played 9 games. Looked pretty good. He hit .375, got on base, you know, 400 OBP and a .583 slug, excuse me. Pretty impressive stuff in a short MLB sample there. He was just 21 years old, just turned 22 actually several days ago. But when I look in the profile, I think there's potential plus hit here, which is super encouraging out of the catcher spot. I mean, he's shown through, I think, in the minor leagues. I mean, he's hit for solid average everywhere, every stop he's been at. And then even in just the small sample, I mean, he in the MLB this year, he had 9 hits in 25 plate appearances, which I think is pretty impressive. The power, I think, is going to come around. Like, he's got pretty average raw power, and the game power is still growing into some. But I'm excited about the outlook here of Kirk, and I think that this is a possibility of a guy who, if he gets the job this year, could jump into, like, top 5 catcher range for redraft, which is pretty crazy. But that's the kind of guy we're looking at here. And so beyond dynasty and for prospect status, like, Kirk's going to be a great guy for redraft. I know Danny Jansen's obviously there, but I think Kirk definitely could get the job and run with it. So we'll see how that plays out, but he's a guy who's definitely on the rise and that I like a lot. And I'm actually targeting a lot of redraft leagues.
I am too. I had Kirk ranked, I think, I don't know my 2021 rankings in front of me, but I think I had him in the 13, 14, 15 range for catchers. I definitely agree. I think if he gets that spot, you know, he has that hitting ability, you know, definitely can hit for a high average, some solid pop as well. The guy's just a bowling ball too. He's like, what, 5'9 or 5'10, like 240. He's like, dude, just rock solid, but the guy can just hit. So yeah, I definitely love Alejandro Kirk as well. I know my podcast buddy over on the Five Tool Pod, Jake Devereaux, has been high on Kirk for a while, had him fairly high in his dynasty catcher rankings when we were doing those shows back in during the pandemic. So yeah, definitely love Kirk there. See how he does in 2021, if he can get that job or maybe at least he'll be in the timeshare with Jansen. Maybe there's some DH time too. So definitely an intriguing late round catcher target for 2021. My catcher going up to St. Louis here with Ivan Herrera. You know, a couple of years ago, you know, it looked like Andrew Knysner was going to be kind of the heir apparent to Yadi, whenever Yadi decides to retire, which, you know, I don't think is anytime soon necessarily. But, you know, now that, you know, the heir apparent, the catcher of the future in St. Louis is Ivan Herrera. You know, outside of his speed, he's obviously, you know, 99% catchers don't have a very good speed, but he could be above average across the board outside of that speed. First couple of years down in rookie ball, you know, he had back-to-back seasons where he hit well over 300, 335 2017, 336 in 2018, but wasn't really hitting for a lot of power. One home run in each season, so it was two over 79 combined games. But he was obviously hitting for a high average. He was walking, you know, a decent amount, right around like an 8% walk rate. Wasn't striking out much, and all of that continued when he got up into, you know, single A level in 2019. I spent time at both low A and high A, slash 284, 374, 405 over 87 games, and added 9 home runs to that. So started showing off a little bit of that power. I think he does have above average raw power. His estimated flyball distance rose 6 feet from 2018 to 2019, which isn't a huge jump, but it isn't, you know, trending up. And then he started driving ball in the air more consistently as well. He's more of a ground ball guy first couple of years. That flyball rate rose from 25% to 38.1%. Really fluid at the plate too. Quick hands direct to the ball plus bat speed. A slight uppercut swing path too. So I think there definitely is some room for more power growth there. Overall, he's just a really good hitter. I think he's going to stand out offensively, but I think you could see, you know, maybe 270, 280 average from him. Solid, you know, OBP as well, probably like 350-ish. His walk rate's right around 10%. In the minor leagues, that jumped to about 12%, a little over 12% last year, or 2019, last season he played. He didn't play in 2020, but and he's very highly thought of in that Cardinal system. Everyone seems to love Ivan Herrera. Everyone's excited about what he can do down the road and take over for Yadier Molina, maybe in a few years or maybe even sooner than that. But Ivan Herrera is my catcher that's kind of on the rise and some of them I'm trying to get in dynasty leagues wherever I can.
Yeah, I could see Herrera being on the fast track to the major leagues, which would definitely be a boost to his dynasty value. Obviously, he's gaining value there, so like that pick a lot. Let's move on over to first base. My first baseman that's on the rise is the Rockies' 2019 first-round pick in Michael Toglia. So we haven't got to see a whole lot of him yet. Obviously, he played short season ball after being drafted, and then we obviously didn't have a 2020 minor league season, which would have been his first full year, but he was pretty impressive in what we did see in that short stint of rookie ball in low A. He had 176 plate appearances. He only hit 248, but he showed elite plate discipline, walked 16% of the time, which is quite impressive there. He did strike out about 25.5% of the time, but still he has the profile that I think can really excel in Coors Field. Obviously a lot of hitters can excel there, but when you get a guy that has the raw power that he does, he's got plus raw power in the cards and I think a future above average hit tool and above average game power, like that's going to play well in Coors. A guy that hits a decent amount of line drives, he hits the ball on the ground, at least he did in that short stint in the minors, hit about 40% on the ground, but a pretty healthy line drive and fly ball right there. And when you get that kind of bat in Coors, I think he could really, really take off. And so I'm excited to watch him this year. And I think he definitely has the potential to shoot up boards. And so like if you have the chance, I would try to acquire him now. Like I would get him now because the price could rise. And I think you're looking at a guy who definitely has the potential to debut sooner than later. I mean, he's 22 years old, obviously not a lot of professional track record, but another guy I think could be on the fast track to the major leagues in several years. Think a 2022 debut is probably likely there.
It's funny. How many people listening to this podcast right now you think are probably going, oh yeah, well, it's the Rockies. So yeah, we'll see him in like 2028 or something like that.
It's true. They know.
Sad but true. People gave it to me all when I was posting about Zach Veen. So it is the Rockies, but they don't really have a long-term option at first base. So, yeah, I could definitely see Toglia taking over that spot pretty soon here. And I love Toglia. That power, if you start driving the ball in the air more consistently, that type of raw power at Coors Field, you gotta be excited about that. So definitely, I think Toglia, I think I have him right around 100, maybe just outside my top 100 overall, but definitely if he can, if we have some minor league games and we can get see some action out of him in 2021, he could be definitely like a top 50 guy easily by, 2022. So I love Toglia. And then my pick at first base is a guy that's already in my top 50 and could be top 20 by year's end. That's from my Boston Red Sox, Tristan Casas. He is like the crown jewel. Yeah, Jeter Downs. We like Jeter Downs too. But Casas right now is the crown jewel of this, semi-improving Red Sox farm system. It's not quite as bad as it used to be. A little bit on the up and up here, but he is a beast at first base. He's drafted as third baseman, but he's played mostly first base. I think that's where he's going to end up long term, especially if with Rafael Devers over there at the hot corner. 6'4", 240, lefty masher. And I've long said that Fenway Park, it's hard on lefties, left-handed power. So we saw like Benintendi hasn't really been able to find his groove power-wise at Fenway, because unless you wrap it around Pesky's pole, once that wall jets out to the bullpens, like the bullpens are like, I think 380, but that's a haul. So unless you're like David Ortiz or Mo Vaughn or someone like that, it's definitely taken a hit on lefty power over the years. But I think Casas is that type of prospect that can kind of buck that trend and kind of put up the big power numbers there, because he absolutely just cranks the ball, swings gear for power, nice loft to it, good bat speed. Doesn't sell out for power though by any means. He's not just your three true outcome guy. It's a solid hit tool, at least an average hit tool, maybe even above average. I think he could be like a 270 to 280 hitter in that range, 35 plus home runs. He really impressed. Like all the reports out of the alternate site this year for the Red Sox were like the two names you heard the most were Casas and then Jaron Duran. Like those are the two guys that really stood out head over shoulders above everybody else. And it's easy to see why. Casas, he can walk a lot too. So I think he's going to be a good high OBP guy, like 360, 370 OBP. His walk rate in the minor leagues and has really only had really one season. But his walk rate was over 12%. So, high OBP, fairly high average, lots of power. He's probably going to settle in right in the middle of that Red Sox order with Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers and, Alex Verdugo and a lot of good hitters around him. So I think he's going to be a three category beast. Obviously providing solid average OBP as well. So, a lot to get excited about here. Still, price tag hasn't really met the value, I think, yet. He's definitely on the rise. People are starting to really realize how good Casas can be. So that price tag is going up. So I definitely try to invest now before that price tag gets too ridiculous, which probably will happen before, middle of 2022. Or 2021, excuse me.
Yeah, I'm excited about him as well. I've watched him quite a bit because the Red Sox single-A team is in my hometown in Greenville, South Carolina. So I get to see him quite a bit down there in 2019. And, dude, the raw power's no joke. He's a big boy, too. Get up next to him pretty close, and he's monster, man. So I'm excited about him. Let's move on over to second base. This is actually another guy who – younger and debuted in 2019, and that's the Yankees' Michael Escoto. Now, Escoto is extremely young. He's only 18 now. I mentioned he debuted back in 2019. Obviously, didn't play in 2020, like we mentioned, unfortunately, but it's 17 years old in rookie ball. He was pretty dominant. He hit 8 home runs, stole 13 bases in 218 plate appearances. Now, he does hit the ball on the ground a lot, which slightly concerning, but the hit tool is improving. Everything I've seen out of him, I think the hit tool definitely can be at least average, if not better. Right now, it's not really there, even though you look at the numbers and you think, well, that's definitely a good hit tool if he hit 315. But I think there's some holes in the swing that are improving. The game power's still improving as well, like future above average game power. He's got plus raw power future, I think. Also, and good speed. Like, he knows how to use his speed well, which is encouraging. It helps that he's good in the field. He's got a great arm. Whether he sticks at second or not long term, it's a question, but I think that he definitely can, or he'll be over at short. Either way, like, the bat's going to play, in my opinion. And this is a power speed combo that I like, in addition to very solid plate discipline. He showed that again, really advanced at 17. Escoto walked nearly 15% of the time. Again, smaller sample, like we mentioned, but still really like the profile there. And I think that there's going to be a lot of growth. And again, a guy that most people haven't got their eye on yet because, again, smaller sample. He was really young, debuting in rookie ball. But I think when we start to see him, we see some highlights of him in the minor leagues, he's really going to skyrocket up rankings. And so he's a guy that I'm investing in now with the expectation that he's going to return a lot of value. And he's very cheap right now, I think, in dynasties. Like, he's not going to cost you much to acquire, not high on most prospect list. Looking at probably like a 2023 debut, maybe 24. Again, I mentioned he's only 18 years old, but he's worth looking into now. So check out Escoto. Definitely potential to really grow and become, I think, an elite prospect. I think that is definitely in the cards for him.
And his name sounds like a fine wine too. Like, you want a glass of the Michael Escoto. It sounds like a fancy wine. It's like, you know, $400 a bottle. Like, oh, 1998 was a good year. Yeah, no, I love Escoto too. I think he made he's somewhere in the, like, the 200 to 250 range of my top 250 prospect rankings, and he's one of the guys that I kind of look at that could really, really jump up with a full season next year of minor league ball and single A. So definitely love that pick. My pick at second base is a guy that I have just every time I redo my rankings, I move him up a little bit more. So I love the offensive potential here. That's Aaron Bracho of the Cleveland Indians, 2017 international signing out of Venezuela. And he ended up missing all of 2018 due to a broken arm, but really showed, you know, that he was worth the wait and why Cleveland invested in him in his debut in 2019, which was mostly in the Arizona League, but then got a little bit of time end of the season in the New York Penn League with Mahoning Valley, short season A ball there. Overall, the line was 281, 402, 570, with a total of 21 extra base hits in 38 games, 8 of those clearing the fence, added in 4 steals as well, and 28 walks to 29 strikeouts. He's a switch hitter, really good bat speed from both sides of the plate, quick wrists, quick hands, really simple, compact swing direct to the ball. It's a nice loft, really, you know, keeps his hands in near the body and really whips that bat head through the zone. Creating that bat speed. Doesn't really show too many platoon issues from either side. Like I said, as you can see from that, you know, this walk to strikeout ratio, this is a pretty solid approach there for his age. So he was 18 all of 2019 season. And you got to take rookie ball numbers with a grain of salt. But, you know, one area or one, you know, kind of set of stats that I really look at that I don't think lie too much, even in rookie ball, is the plate discipline. The fact that he was, and more so the strikeouts, you know, he walks, you can take advantage of the younger arms that don't have the, you know, really good control yet. But, you know, he doesn't chase much out of the zone. So that strikeout rate was, I think that's right around, what, like 15-ish percent. So really good plate discipline there. And this is the power. You know, the power really stands out from the second base position. And I think he can be, you know, above average, a 55 hit, 60 raw power, you know, and he's got a little bit of speed too. He's not a burner by any means. But there's a little bit of speed there. Maybe he chips in like 8 to 10 steals a year to go along with a, you know, pretty solid batting average and OBP. You know, it's gonna be like a 25 to 30 homer bat at second base, which, you know, you don't get too often. You know, I think upside, you know, maybe think of what we thought of Keston Hiura, you know, last year before he had the disastrous 2020. This is a guy that can hit for average, hit for power, a little bit of speed out of them there as well. He's obviously in a great system. He doesn't have the look of a masher. He's doing like, I think he's listed at 5'11", like 180. I think he's added a little bit of bulk recently, so it might be a little low, maybe 190 to 200 now. But, you know, he is really strong frame, especially in his lower half. One of the quotes I saw that came out of summer camp is that he didn't look like an 18-year-old. So you got to be, you know, impressed with that. So, yeah, really, really love Aaron Bracho here. I think he's back end of my top 100 now. I think he's in the 90s somewhere. You know, but next year, I could see him making a huge jump if he can continue doing what he started doing in 2019, in 2021, I think he's going to be, you're going to see him definitely well inside everyone's top 100, probably inside some top 50 as well. So yeah, the upside is very high here from this, you know, usually offensive deprived position. So definitely gets all the shares of Bracho that you can. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back, do some third baseman, some shortstops, and then head on over to, out to the outfield. All right, welcome back from the break. Talking some breakout hitting prospects, some guys that are on the rise that you should be targeting in your dynasty leagues. And already hit on catcher, first base, and second base. Now we're heading over to the hot corner. Chris, what you got?
Yeah, so third base, funny, I'm going to get picked on for going with another Rocky, and that's Aaron Shunk. Shunk is he's an interesting guy. Like, he's definitely an interesting profile here. And honestly, like, I haven't been that high on him, but all the reports that I've read out of camp this year has done nothing but rave about him. Like, rave about his leadership, about his ability to hit in the field. He's an SEC product out of Georgia, and he was the Rockies' second-round pick in 2019 behind Toglia, and there's a good reason why. I mean, he was a junior, obviously, before he got drafted. He came out his junior year and was, I mean, that he really took off that season in 2019. He hit 15 bombs in just 57 games, hit 339 with a 373 OBP at Georgia. Again, he showed really good plate discipline. And I may be biased because, like, I'm a South Carolina Gamecock fan, but I think SEC baseball is, like, one of the highest college levels there is. And so when you're facing the Vanderbilts and the South Carolinas, like, you're facing high-quality pitching every time out in conference play. And he only struck out 29 times in 252 plate appearances. So pretty impressive there. And then he did look solid in his debut, actually, and he showed some good – power speed combo with his short season debut, hit 6 home runs and stole 4 bases, hit 306 with a 370 OBP. And I love the distribution. He doesn't hit the ball on the ground much. Again, another lot of line drives, a lot of fly balls, which is going to play well in Coors. It'll be interesting though, because he's already 23 years old and we know the Rockies have Arenado. Like, so where does Shunk play? He should be on the fast track to the majors, but the question is, like, where will they put him? Obviously, it's possible Arenado could get traded. Who knows? The Rockies are weird. We know that. they will do weird things. They will manipulate the mess out of these guys, especially their hitters. So I'm not sure what the long-term prognosis is for playing time, which definitely throws a wrench into things when looking at this. Right now, again, I don't see Shunk ranked very high in most prospect rankings. He could really blossom. I think the hit tool's only getting better. Despite being 23 years old, I think there's still room to grow there. And he's got, I mean, it's just going to be like average to above average across the board. I mentioned the steals. Like, he still forced a decent amount for that short season. I don't really see the steals being a factor, but I think he's a guy that you're looking at that could be average or better across the board. Like, batting average wise, power wise, and that's only going to play up in Coors. With the amount of line drives he hits, that BABIP should get really high. So we just got to hope that he progresses and finds a spot there, honestly. So that's going to be a big part of his prognosis. But really like Aaron Shunk, and a guy that I think the more we see him, the more that he should rise in rankings.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's funny. We were thinking of a lot of the same guys, even the guys you picked. You know, I thought of when I was making my selections here. With him, it's interesting because you have Fuentes there as well. They could play third. Ryan Velarde has played some third.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I don't know if Taron Varvara has. I don't think he has, but really at second, short, and third, they have so many options, even past Arenado and Trevor Story, that they can add
and play like Garrett Hampson's another option. Get him. I get my daily Garrett Hampson plug here in every pod I'm on. But yeah, we just see how Colorado manages all that infield log jam. And as we've seen, they haven't really managed their log jams well so far. But I do like Shunk too. And that's the type of profile that does play up, like you mentioned, at Coors Field. So interesting to see how he gets handled over the next year or two. That'll be interesting. My pick is Cody Hosey from the Dodgers. We had him on the Five Tool Pod back in like late March, early April during the pandemic. And he was just a great guy to talk baseball with. Talk about his time down at Tulane in Louisiana. And then the Dodgers org, which he couldn't stop raving about. It's everything, their player development, how they train, and the quality of the food they feed. Like, they're giving you good steaks and stuff. Like, he was raving about the Dodgers org. He's a guy that I just like. I think he could be the next, you know, how we think about Alec Boehm this year, we could be thinking about the same way about Cody Hosey in a year, a year and a half, because I think he's going to be a pretty quick riser. Said he was a college guy. He's already 22. 25th overall pick back in 2019, 6'4", 200, righty swing third baseman. But he's a pretty solid third base. I think he can definitely stick there long-term. But offensively, like, kind of like with Boehm, how Boehm, like, he's really good hitter, but doesn't really, like, wow you at, you know, with his hit tool or his power. I mean, he's above average to plus on both. I think Hosey's going to be that same type of player where you don't look at him and say, oh, he's not a 40 home run masher. He's not going to hit 330 or anything like that. But both the hit tool and the power are above average to plus. He walks at a higher clip, keeps his strikeouts in check. Great approach. He just really seems in control of his at bats. Like, he doesn't, you know, get made a fool, look a fool often. He doesn't get, you know, pitchers don't get him to chase too often. So he really just looks like he has a good plan up there, and really, you know, tries to execute that as best he can every time out there. You got to love that. And it's the swing too. You know, his swing, it's just picture perfect. From the right side. I love it. It's simplistic yet explosive. It's not a lot of added movement. He's quick to the ball, hands start in front of the shoulder, and a little bit of a load, uses a little bit of a slight leg kick, quick to the ball. It's very fluid. Like I said, you know, great torque and rotation in the swing as well. Creates that power. So I think, you know, that powers all fields as well. He's not just a pull hitter. He can really drive the ball to all fields. So I think, you know, this would be a guy that, you know, could hit 280-ish, 280, 290, and maybe flirts to 300 sometimes, you know, 25 to 30 bombs. I mean, he gets in the mid-30s at peak, but really good offense. He's not going to have any speed. You know, he's not that quick, maybe a handful of steals a year at most, but definitely a guy that can, you know, provide a good average, good OBP, good power, you know, probably – slots in fifth or sixth in that deep Dodgers lineup. So he'll have, you know, he'll be hitting right behind like Seager and Bellinger. So guy that's probably going to be like 100 RBI threat year in, year out with, you know, with the way he can hit. So definitely, you know, I've been trying to get Hosey everywhere I can. I have him in the new 30 team dynasty league that Chris and I are both in that started last year. He's one of my core hitting prospects that, and he should be up pretty soon too. Like I said, he's on a fast track, maybe takes over late 2021, you know, especially if they don't re-sign Justin Turner, but definitely early 2022 at the latest, because I think he's not too far off. You know, he only has 41, you know, professional games under his belt, but, you know, I said I don't think he needs much more time. So he's a very advanced, you know, very polished collegiate hitter. So definitely go out and get Cody Hosey wherever he's available, because I think he's going to be a big riser in 2021.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And like you mentioned, I think that one of his best assets is he's going to be up soon. You know, I mean, I don't think they re-signed Turner. I could be wrong. We'll see how that plays out, but they may kind of make shift third base for this year. And then obviously, like, by 2022, I don't see any reason that he's not up and he's just man in third. Like, that's his job. So I'm excited about Hosey as well. So let's move on to shortstop. And we couldn't go without mentioning a guy named Acuna, because if you know me, you know I'm a Braves fan, big Ronald Acuna fan. So let's talk a little bit about his brother, Luis Angel Acuna. He might end up at second base. He's listed some places second base, some places shortstop. Saw some film of him the other day, actually. I think the Rangers prospect, when their prospect accounts put that out, man, when you see him in the box, he just resembles Ronald so much. Like it, the way, I mean, the leg kick, the swing, everything. It's just, you just dream on that. And obviously, I don't see him developing into what Ronnie has been or could be, but there's still a lot to like here in the profile. The name is likely going to drive the value up, but it hasn't yet from what I've seen in most dynasty leagues. I think the hit tool still needs a little work, but it's developing. I mean, we saw the same thing with Ronnie when he was coming up through the minors. I mean, it took him some time to develop into the elite asset that he is today. I mean, we know he's one of the best hitters in all of baseball. And so there's some development here with Luis Angel Acuña, his brother. He's small too. He's 5'10". He's only listed at 155 right now. So it's possible that he could bulk up a little bit, and that's kind of what he needs to do if he wants to tap into that power, because we definitely haven't seen like the best of his power. And again, I've mentioned a lot of these guys, but he's another guy that's only had a short season debut in 2019. And so like maybe it's a good time to acquire these guys. Like we didn't see them in 2020. And so a lot of people have forgotten about these guys that made their debut in 19, and most of them being the short season guys. So the 2019 draft class, I know Acuña obviously wasn't part of that. Like he was international, but still, like, this is a good time to look to acquire these guys. He did hit the ball on the ground a lot. Small sample. I'm going to overlook that. If that trend continues, though, it could be concerning. Like, he hit the ball on the ground at 55% rate in those 240 plate appearances. And so my hope is that he does continue to develop. Obviously, we'd love for him to be like his brother. The power, the raw power is just not there. The speed is there, though. Like, he has the potential to still swipe a lot of bags. I mean, he swiped 17 in 240 plate appearances, which is pretty impressive. He also walked 34 times, which shows good discipline. Walked more than he struck out. Those are things I'm looking at in these young prospects. He showed the ability to limit his strikeouts and walk. And Eric mentioned it earlier. I mean, a lot of these guys are pitchers are wild in rookie ball, so can't always judge the walk rates this early. But it is always an encouraging sign to me when someone walks more than they strike out. And so I'm looking at him. I'm looking at a guy that's very projectable and very raw. And so it could go a lot of ways, but right now the value's cheap enough, I think, where you can go out and get him, and he's worth the risk because the upside is there, obviously, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny with the walk rate and rookie ball, you know, while you can't take too much from it, you can't take, like, if somebody walks like 5% rookie ball, that's a red flag to me. It's like, it's almost like I could go walk 5% rookie ball just by like laying off the, you know, the wildness. So yeah, definitely, you know, well, I don't think he's going to be like a huge walk guy, maybe not, but definitely like to see, like you mentioned, the approach. Yeah, definitely go out and get Acuña, because a lot of people, when they, you know, when I retweeted that video, I think it's the same video you were just mentioning from their player development or prospect account. And I got a few people that are like, is that Ronald's brother? Any relation to Ronald? It's like, not everybody yet knows that they are related. They're like, oh, Acuña. Who is that relation to Ronald? Kind of funny. But yeah, I definitely agree with that. Love Acuña. Definitely think he could be, yeah, I don't think the power will ever be to Ronald's level, but you know, maybe he's like a 10 to 15 homer guy, but big hit, speed combo there. So love Acuña there. Great pick. My shortstop here is a guy that I actually moved down my rankings last year. And then after, you know, seeing reports out of the alternate site this year, moved him back up even higher than he was before I moved him down. That's Tyler Freeman of the Cleveland Indians. You know, he's going into 2019, 2020, you know, everyone knew, like, this is a good hitter, good speed, but there's very minimal power here. And I've kind of been moving those guys down my rankings a little bit. Guys like, all right, this guy's hit like 5 home runs. This is like 30 grade power, 40 raw at best. Guys hit just a handful of home runs every year. Where, you know, these guys still have value, but, you know, like Xavier Edwards is another type like that. But, you know, I want a little more power. I don't want the next like Malik Smith. Well, they have value because of the speed they can provide and solid average. But I like having more well-rounded prospects, well-rounded players on my teams. But now that he's, you know, reports have been, he's been adding, he added a little bit of bulk, it looks like, and he was hitting for power, you know, at the alternate site. There was reports that he's at 8 home runs there. Who knows how many, you know, bats that's over, but definitely, you know, starting to bulk up, drive the ball in the air more. That's encouraging to see. You know, he only had, you know, coming into 2020, 7 home runs in 231 professional games, including 3 in 123 between the Single A Midwest League and the Class A Advanced Carolina League in 2019. So definitely love that he added a little bit of power, even if he's just a 10 to 12 home run guy, 15 peak. That is definitely better than a guy that hits like 3 to 5, you know, so obviously. So definitely love to see that, because the hit tool, like I mentioned, the hit tool, at least a plus hit tool, maybe even a hair above plus. Not a burner, not a speedster, but, you know, probably above average speed, I'd say. And he's very smart out on the bases, too. Doesn't get caught a lot. Was 81% success rates compared to 38 out of 47 so far in his career. You know, long-term, defensively, I'm not quite sure where he fits in. He's played mostly at short, a little bit of second. You know, obviously, Cleveland, you know, keeping or trading Lindor, and he's only got 1 year left on his contract, so he's probably gone. But, you know, even if he does, if they resign him, you know, that throws a monkey wrench in, but that probably doesn't happen. But even if he does leave town, which looks likely, you know, they also have Gabriel Arias too, so they have some flexibility there. And then obviously Bracho coming up, and they have a lot more middle infield prospects too. Like, these guys, you know, are the closest, but they have a lot more in the lower levels as well. You know, Gabriel Rodriguez, Junior San Quentin, a lot more guys. So, but I think Freeman can kind of take over late 2021 or maybe early 2022 within the next year or two. It's be a guy that probably hits near, I don't know if he hits near the top of the order. He's got the contact skills to do so. Doesn't walk a whole lot. Walk rate in the minor leagues was only 4.1% right now. Maybe he's not a super high OBP guy, but as long as he keeps hitting for the high average, like, this is a guy could definitely hit 300, 319 career average in the minors. So very fluid swing, you know, strike zone awareness and coverage is exceptional. Doesn't strike out barely at all. K rate's below 10%. What was it? 8.8% strike rate for the minor league. So I definitely think that the contact skill will lead to that 300 average, you know, maybe 10 or so home runs, 10 to 12 home runs, probably 20, 25 steals, maybe in the mid-20s for steals. It's a nice, well-rounded, you know, middle infielder. Maybe he's never your starting infielder or second baseman or shortstop, but guy you can plug into your middle infield spot or utility spot and give you a little bit of everything. So definitely, you know, the arrow with Tyler Freeman is definitely trending up right now.
Yeah, I think you're dead on there. Like, James Anderson's always been like the really high guy on him, and I never really saw it. And I think that now that we finally see the power showing through, I can see a little bit more of having Freeman a little higher. But I've always been kind of conservative because I didn't think that 10 was even in the cards, like 10 home run power.
Right. But
the reports out of camp have been really good. I think in summer he would hit like 7 bombs in like a really short span of time. And, you know, we take those with a grain of salt, not true game results, but still, it's definitely encouraging to hear that he is growing into that power. All right, so let's move on to the outfield here. And my first guy is from your team, Eric, the Red Sox. It's Jarren Duran.
Ooh.
Duran has been getting a lot of hype also out of the alternate training site and camp, which is exciting. And we've known the speed is there, like this elite speed, like at least 70 grade. He's going to steal a ton of bags. In 2019, we stole 46 bags in not a huge sample. So he stole a ton of bags, and he's going to really run. There's no question about that. And so I think the question is more in his power, but I think that power is definitely developing. The hit tool is there. The hit tool is already at least average, I think, with room to grow. The power, I think if the power just gets to average, you're looking at an elite asset, because you're looking at a guy with average power that can steal you 30 plus bases with a good batting average. That's for fantasy. You know, that's great. You want that on your team. And so I'm looking at Duran as a potential guy. I think he can hit, you know, 280, somewhere around there. Right now, I mean, he's only got 8 career home runs between 2 years of minor league ball, but I think the power can definitely grow into that to be at least 15 home run power. And then you throw in that speed and you're looking at a guy who can easily steal you 30 plus bags. And so there's a lot to like here in the profile. I wish that we would have got to see him this year. I really think that 2020 could have been a huge developmental year, but it sounds like that even though we didn't have minor league games, that he still had a lot of development. He really grew in the team's training site, which is encouraging to hear. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing him in 2021 because I think he's a guy that's going to skyrocket. I do want to see him show a little bit better plate discipline. He doesn't walk at a high clip, but again, there's room to grow there. The strikeout rate kind of spiked in 2019. So I'll be curious to see what he looks like because it's been so long since we've seen him. But all the reports out of camp have been tremendous. And I think that he's really going to skyrocket up a lot of rankings once we get to see him in 21.
Yeah. So 2019, he got up to AA, which is 20 minutes from my house, AA Portland, Maine. I was so excited because he tore up the Carolina League. I was like, all right, this is our guy. And obviously my Red Sox bias played into it, but he disappointed me. He looked terrible in Double A. He was pressing too much, pounding everything into the ground instead of doing, you know, trying to spray line drives over the field, which is what he was doing down in the Carolina League. So I moved him down my rankings, and then seeing all these reports out of the alternate site, I'm excited again. They changed his hand slot, pre-swing. This definitely helped him drive the ball in the air a bit more. So really excited for him in 2021. And, you know, hopefully he'll probably might be up early on. So especially if the Red Sox don't resign Jackie Bradley Jr. I think that which they've been talking with him, so they still might. So that'll kind of play into his ETA. But definitely love Duran. Yeah, that guy can absolutely fly. That's like a 30 steal guy waiting to happen. So love Duran there. My first outfielder here is, you know, wasn't one of the bigger J2 signings of 2019, only signed for $700K out of Venezuela, but he has been, even without playing and making his first, you know, appearance in a minor league game yet, really shooting up rankings. That's Hedbert Perez of the Milwaukee Brewers, one of the very few exciting players in that farm system. Along with, you know, it's him and Garrett Mitchell right now, and some people like Ethan Small, sure. But it's Hedbert Perez and Garrett Mitchell, like the two exciting guys. He is just really, really toolsy. He was the youngest player at their alternate site this year. And he was one of the more impressive ones. Everything you read was, you know, he was one of the more impressive people there, regardless of age. Like, he's the only one that, like, he didn't look like he was a 17-year-old that was just coming over from Venezuela and, you know, first, you know, taste of baseball in the United States. But, you know, really strong, athletic guy. Potential for a plus raw power, plus speed, above average hit. Like, there's really intriguing, you know, offensive potential here. A really smooth swing, too, from the left side. Pretty mechanically sound swing. There's not a lot of flaws in that swing. Obviously, there's stuff to tinker with, but got a good building blocks are definitely here for Hedbert Perez. And we'll see how much, if that power continues to trend up. Obviously, he's still on the smaller side, listed at 5'10", 160. I'm sure he's probably added a little bit of bulk there. He's still only like 17 years old. And James Anderson, you mentioned him. He has him super high in his rankings. I think already top 50. I have him outside my top 100, but not by much. Definitely a guy that I could really see shooting up once he debuts and gets in the game action and people see, you know, how good, how toolsy Hedbert Perez is. To see if that power speed blend and the hit tool come as advertised, and he starts putting up some good stats in rookie ball next year. Yeah, this is going to be probably one of the bigger risers out of any position you'll see on prospect rankings in 2021. So now right now, the helium's already starting to get there. Definitely this is the time to get Hedbert Perez, because chances are, you know, this time next year, you're going to be paying a big, big price tag for him. So definitely, if you like getting, you know, the young, toolsy guys that you can dream on that have the huge upside, Hedbert Perez is your guy. So you go out and get this guy wherever you can.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that it's funny that his value is already inflating. Just, I think the name value is just getting out there, honestly. A lot of guys hyping him. I think I've got him right around 100, but there's definitely potential to skyrocket up. As with my last guy, and that's Luis Matos from San Francisco, who I think another younger guy who I think could really skyrocket up. And we saw him debut in 2019, and he was just very, very impressive in his time. He hit 7 bombs, stole 20 bases. I mean, in rookie ball, hit 362 with a 430 OBP. he just looked like a monster. And doing this at such a young age, I mean, he was doing that at 17. He's only 18 now. You look at a guy, you mentioned like Hedbert, who has the raw power and speed combo. Like Matos has that 60 grade speed, and I think that the power could easily grow into to plus power. He's definitely got that potential there. The hit tool, there's definitely still some holes in the swing, despite what you saw. You look at the numbers and you're like, wow, like there's plenty of guys like that. But we got to look past the numbers a little bit and say that the hit tool is still developing. But again, very young guy that should continue to develop. He's just really, I think, going to skyrocket up boards. And I am very, very excited about his potential here, like across the board. Like you're looking at a guy that could be a very solid five category contributor, because I think even the batting average could probably get above average. Like I could see him hitting 270, 280, and then you throw in that raw power and the 60 grade speed, and you're looking at a guy who can make a big fantasy impact. The hype is somewhat there, I think, but it's not fully there yet. Like people aren't going out of their way to get Matos, but I could see that happening over the next year and see him really jumping up boards and being a guy that you need to be ahead of the curve on. Like, so I would recommend going ahead and getting Matos sooner than later if you are interested in investing, because I do think that he has the potential to take off in 2021.
I hate to agree with you because I just traded him in that in DS 130 league that we're in, even though I like the return and I agree with everything you said. Yeah. Selfishly, I hope he just flails out in single A. But probably won't. Like you mentioned, tools are there. I think he's definitely going to be a big riser. But had to include him to get the deal done. But I'm glad I did it. But definitely love Luis Matos. Nice little 1-2 combo in that system with Luciano. And obviously, you got Helio Ramos and Hunter Bishop as well. So a lot of good offensive talent. And Joey Bart. So a lot of good offensive prospects that are coming up through that system or already there with Joey Bart. So definitely love Luis Matos. And then my final outfielder from the San Diego Padres, Hudson Head, 2019 third rounder, and already looking like one of the bigger steals of the draft. Debuted in the Arizona League in 2019, 32 games. The numbers don't really jump off the page at you. 283, 383, 417 slash. Only had one home run, but seven doubles, three triples, three steals, but also got caught three times. So you look at those numbers on the surface, and like I said, they don't jump out at you. That nothing really stands out. But you look at video of him. Bat speed is absolutely electric from the left side. One of the quicker bats you'll see in the minor leagues already. And he's got really good raw power, probably above average to plus raw power. Potentially be up, at least an average hit tool, probably above average. He's got above average plus speed as well, though. I think that maybe that kind of ticks down. So maybe it's more 50-55 than 55-60. This is a guy that, he's not going to stand out any one area. He's not going to be a big basher or steal a ton of bases. But, just 20-20 upside here, maybe even like 25-20. I think the power continues to trend up as he fills out a little bit. Still only 19 years old, won't even be 20 until next April. So I think he still can fill out a little bit on that 6'1", 180 frame. And everyone that I've talked to and everything I've read, people are raving about him. Let me quickly here read something from Jason Panini, one of the better scouting minds I've ever talked to, ever met, was one of the co-founders of Prospects Live. He did a top 100 Arizona League prospects rankings and write-ups last year. I put it out in August, September, excuse me, over on Prospects Live. So definitely go check that out. I highly recommend this read. This is what he wrote on Hudson Head, who he ranked as the sixth best player that he saw out in the Arizona League behind Luciano, CJ Abrams, Bobby Witt Jr., Diego Cartea, and Corbin Carroll. And Panini said this: a crafty overslot third round selection by the Padres. Head may have been the steal of the draft. Offensively, he creates big separation and uses his plus bat speed to pepper balls to all fields. His frame is very projectable. Considering said frame and his age for the draft class, expect more power to come. His outfield reads are raw, but he's a good athlete with a shot to stick in center field. Head projects for average defense there and above average power as he fills out. So lot to like here with Hudson Head. Obviously, you got to pay that Padres tax, but luckily you know, that tax hasn't really fully gone, you know, come into effect yet. Because, you know, like I said, he didn't have the big debut like C.J. Abrams had, where you're already paying that huge, huge Padres tax on Abrams so far. So he's a, you know, top 10 caliber prospect. But Head, you know, right now he's in, I think he's in the back end of my top 100 and definitely has a shot here. Just what he can do offensively, at hitting for average. He walks a fair amount as well, so I think you have a pretty solid OBP to go with that average. You know, nice little 20-20, 25-20 upside with power speed. Maybe it's more for me 25-15, but nice little power speed blend. Does everything well across the board offensively. So I definitely think you can see a big jump from Hudson Head here moving forward. That's going to wrap us up. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in again this week. And we will be back with you same time next week. We'll do some pitching prospects on the rise on a lot of other good names targeting in your dynasty leagues. But until then, take care.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.